How many of you have ever been mugged or threatened physical harm if you didn't give somebody something? How many? Let's see hands. A handful here. It happened to me once. I was about 14 years old, and I was at a basketball camp in Evansville, Indiana. And I was the shortest guy on my basketball team, and I was with a guy named Booger, who was one of the tallest. And anyway, me and Booger were out walking around. We got a little bit off the campus, and it was night. We probably shouldn't have been off campus, but a guy who was really strong came up to us. And I was in front, so he looked at me first, and he said, "You got any money?" And I said, "No," I lied to him. And then he looked at my friend, and here's where almost every time, if I had the option of being short or tall, I would rather be taller. Like, I envy all you guys who are tall. I think that sounds great. But this is one time I'm thankful I'm short, because I think this man just saw me, thought I was a little kid, and this taller guy had the money. So he looked at him, my friend, and he said, "You have money, and I'm going to fight you for it." At this, I was afraid, because this guy's muscles were huge. He was mean and threatening. We were a couple of teenage kids, and he was a guy probably in his 20s. And so at that time, I just felt all this fear and this adrenaline coursing through my body. And psychologists talk about how in these kind of moments, you have energy to either fight or flight. And so as I looked at the assailant and my friend, I realized we had outnumbered this guy 2-1. And my friend was in a lot of trouble. So I felt this adrenaline come into my hand. And as I looked at him, I chose flight, and I ran as fast as I could. Booger was left to fend for himself. I was safe, though. How have you felt about being in danger? We've all been there. It's not fun to feel like we're threatened. A lot of us, some of us like scary stories or stories of danger. Like, I don't have any problem telling you about that time a long time ago when I was in danger. Or we like to hear stories of where that someone is in peril and then gets rescued. We like the stories, but we don't like to be in danger ourselves. We don't want to be in that situation where we're being threatened. Most of us. Now, maybe there's a few sickos here that like that. But I'd say almost all of us here would think, man, if I'm in danger, if I'm in peril, that's not as fun. That's scary. So today we're going to be looking at the 23rd Psalm, and we're going to be looking at a very famous verse and thinking about it. Because we all have different stories, and sometimes the threat is not an assailant, but the threat comes when a doctor informs you of some news. And maybe a word like terminal is thrown out, or positive, a word that you don't want to hear. Maybe that threat comes from a conversation with a police officer or a chaplain. Maybe the threat comes in the mail. But we've all had those different times where we've been threatened, where we felt like we're in danger. We've been in peril in some way. And it's not a situation that we like. So today, as we get into there and thinking about fearing and thinking about being in a place that just feels dangerous, we're going to be starting by talking about the 23rd Psalm, and I want to go through the first three verses, because we're kind of doing a thing where we cover one verse at a time and look into it, but really this is about the whole 23rd Psalm. So to get some context, we're going to just recite together the first three verses of the 23rd Psalm. It's written right up here on the screen. If you have a Bible, you can follow along too. But if you will say this with me, read along with me, that would be great. Let's, ready? Go. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul." And now we're moving on to the next part. Okay, there we go. "He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Now that leads us to today's verse 4. And so you don't have to read this along. You can if you want, because it's been fun, right? But let's go ahead and throw up verse 4. "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." And that's the beginning of Psalm 23:4. This was written by a guy named David. Now, David is famous even in our culture, even among people who aren't religious. When you hear the word David, what comes to mind? What's David most famous for? Goliath, right? David was the kid who took down the giant. So every year we talk a lot of sports too. It's a David and Goliath story, or a little business, or a little school, or something that's small that takes on the big. You hear David. David and Goliath, this is a story that's really stayed with us, even in non-religious culture in America, because it's a compelling story. So thinking about what David is most famous for, Goliath, think about this verse. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. When David was facing Goliath, he was in a valley. It was the valley of Elah. And so David, I wonder if as he's writing this, he's having flashbacks to what it was like to be in that valley. I don't know, that's just a thought, but thinking about a time, obviously this is about being threatened, a time when we're vulnerable. I want to read some words from a guy named Philip Keller, who wrote a book called A Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm, and it's written from the perspective of a Middle Eastern shepherd. Keller writes, "Every mountain has its valleys. Its sides are scarred by deep ravines and gulches and draws, and the best route to the top is always through the valleys. Any sheepman familiar with the high country knows this. He leads his flock gently but persistently up the paths that wind through the dark valleys." The valley is a necessary part of the journey. We've been thinking about and going through the 23rd Psalm. There's always a purpose in it. But David establishes right off the bat that the Lord is my shepherd, that it's God who is leading. So is the valley of the shadow of death, has he ventured off the right path, or is he on the right path? What would you say? Right or wrong? He's still on the right path. He had just established that he's on the right path, that he's being led on the right path. And now part of the right path is the valley of the shadow of death. Not the path that he wanted to be on, I would say, but the right path nonetheless. The valley of the shadow of death, unfortunately, is a necessary path for all of us. It's a time when we don't feel safe. It's a time when we're vulnerable. It's a time when we maybe feel threatened. But it's a time where maybe we sense that peril, we sense the danger. And again, that word, vulnerable. It's a time when we just are. We probably don't want to be there, but we just are. Let's move on here. The Lord, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And kind of thinking about why David places I will fear no evil when he's in the valley of the shadow of death. Why is it right here that David feels the need to say, I will fear no evil? Why not imagine does David need to declare it when he says, he makes me lie down in green paths? Imagine that. He makes me lie down in green paths. I will fear no evil. He leads me beside quiet waters. Do you need that when you're at the beach? I will fear no evil. No, it's in the valley of the shadow of death when David needs to declare, I will fear no evil. Think about when that makes sense for you to have to declare it. I will fear no evil. Is it when you just got a promotion, your boss comes to you and says, you're doing a great job, you're promoted, you're going to get more money, more vacation, all these great benefits. Is the correct response, I will fear no evil? Kind of misplaced, isn't it? When you're on vacation, you're at the beach, life is good, you feel a nice breeze, you're listening to the gentle waves coming in, it's warm, and you say, I will fear no evil. Do you need it there? Maybe if there's a shark, right? But a day at the beach does not necessitate the term, I will fear no evil. Or is it when you get some bad news, when you find out that you're the one who's going to be laid off? Is that when you say, I will fear no evil. David needed to put I will fear no evil after being in the valley of the shadow of death, because we don't need to declare it when things are safe. The reason why he had to say I will fear no evil is because there were threats. It was dangerous. There were things that could hurt him. And he needed to be reminded of the protection of the shepherd. I will fear no evil. Because we do live in a dangerous world. In Sunday school, we were even talking about this morning, how we just don't have any guarantees. And in an instant, everything can be gone. In an instant, everything can change. We just don't know what's going to happen. And in this world, we're vulnerable. There's times where things can change and we're threatened. Moving on in the 23rd Psalm, 23:4, it says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, why would a shepherd's rod and staff comfort the sheep? What were the rod and the staff used for? One of the big uses were protection. The shepherd would use the rod and the staff to protect the sheep. Another one was to examine the sheep. Sheep would get some diseases and it would show up in their skin, but their wool was really thick, so the shepherd would have to pull the sheep over and then examine. Have you ever heard of pull the wool over someone's eyes? Well, it's hard to see the disease. It's hard to see what's underneath in the skin without examining and moving the wool and taking a close look. A shepherd used his rod and his staff to bring a ewe who had been separated from its mother, back together. There's a lot of different uses. One of those, have you heard of cast down? This is a picture of a sheep that's cast down right here. And I'm going to demonstrate what it looks like too. Maybe you can see. Can you see that? You know what a sheep does when it's cast down, what it can do? It can wave its legs. It can, if a predator comes up on it, it can maybe bite it, but probably not. So when a sheep can't roll over. So when a sheep is cast down, when a sheep is on its back, it's pretty much defenseless. And you know what's going to happen to a defenseless sheep that's cast down? It's going to get eaten, because there are predators out there. It's very dangerous when a sheep is cast down. So lots of bad things can happen, depending on how well-fed the sheep is, how long it's been since it's been hydrated, what the temperatures are like. Sheep could die of starvation or water deprivation or be eaten by a predator. Lots of bad things. So it was the rod and the staff that the shepherd would use to pull a sheep back up so that it's no longer cast down and helpless. Thinking about cast down, David was thinking about that in that Psalm 42 that we read at the start of this service. And over, and one of the verses is, why are you cast down, O my soul? Being cast down is a dangerous place for a sheep. It's a time when the sheep knows that its only hope is a shepherd to come and set it right, because a sheep just doesn't have much defense. And a sheep can't get back up on its own. Thinking about sheep and shepherd, we've been talking about Jesus too. And I wonder how often Jesus meditated on the 23rd Psalm and what was going through his mind. In Matthew 10:16, he wrote, behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. This is what he said to his disciples. I'm going to ask you, how comforting is that? Does that comfort you? The one who's sending you out, hey, I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Which animal is the predator? It's not the sheep. Which animal is stronger? It's the wolves. But Jesus told his disciples that he was sending them out as sheep in the midst of wolves. He would go on to talk about how they would be arrested and how they would be beaten. But not to worry about that, because he was going to tell them what to say. And I'll have to say, if a policeman came to my door and took me off in handcuffs, I'd be afraid. If I were beaten by somebody, I think I would be afraid. But Jesus told him not to be afraid. And he says, and do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Now, I think it's very natural to be afraid when threatened. I know that's my experience. When I'm threatened, I feel afraid. It's a body reaction. But Jesus encouraged people not to worry. He said, you are going to be sent out into danger. I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves, but don't be afraid. And it was great how we opened the service too with the song More Than Conquerors, because I love that. I love the idea of winning. I love that identity of how in Christ we're more than conquerors, because that sounds good to me, to be a winner. It sounds like you don't have anything to worry about. But interestingly, the verse right before Romans 8:37, where Paul declares we are more than conquerors in Christ, Paul says this: for your sake, we are being killed all day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. Huh? How does that fit with being more than conquerors? So here we have David saying, hey, we're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. We're in a dangerous place, and the shepherd is leading us there. We have Jesus telling his disciples, I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. And we have Paul even saying, hey, we're getting slaughtered. We're like sheeps getting slaughtered all day long. This is not good. Wonder why we have any fear, right? That sounds so glorious, doesn't it? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. David focuses, if you look at this whole verse here, David focuses more on who is with him than he focuses on the valley of the shadow of death. He admits he doesn't want to be there, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but he's saying that you are with me. He's focusing on the protection of God. He's focusing on the presence of God. David focuses more on who is with him and what God does than the threats that are coming his way. In a book called Soul Keeping, John Ortberg wrote this about Jesus. It's about our focus. Jesus came to give hard assignments, but to make it easy on the soul. Aim at having easy circumstances and your life will be hard. Aim at having, keep going. Okay. Aim at having an easy soul, and your capacity to tackle tough assignments will grow. The soul was not made for an easy life. It is made for an easy yoke. Life is hard. There are times when we all have to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, when it's scary and threatening. There are times when we feel like sheep in the midst of wolves, and we feel insecure and vulnerable. But we don't need to look for the path of least resistance, because God will lead us into the valley of the shadow of death. And so this is really today, again, it's about focus. We can focus less on the valley of the shadow of death and more on God's presence and protection. We can focus less on the wolves and more on the sender who has sent us out. We can focus less on the losses and more on the hope that we have of being more than conquerors through him who loves us. We can focus less on the comfort you want and more on the comforter who provides all that you need. The valley is a reminder that we need to focus on the comforter. And if we do this, this is what Scripture says about God. 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 5. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by. God comforts us. Maybe this is the best part, so that we can be a comfort to others. God's not going to waste the scary situations of our lives. It's not just about us, but he's going to use that. Think about how he used that with David. David experienced the valley of the shadow of death, but then to millions of people, especially people at funerals and graveside services, David's words of being comforted in the valley of the shadow of death have comforted others. And God wants to use us to do something similar. He wants to comfort us in the valley so that we can be a comfort to others. You pray with us. Heavenly Father, your word is alive and active, and it penetrates to our hearts. We bless you, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Forgive us when we seek our own comfort above your will, and help us to be willing to be more faithful and more vulnerable. When we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, remind us to look to you so that we can be less afraid and more comforted by your presence with us. Remind us that you are sending us out, and help us to find our purpose and identity in you rather than the circumstances of life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.